I do want to welcome you back this morning to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. We have been looking at different things that Jesus has said in the Sermon on the Mount, and truly it's a great collection of deep and important things that Jesus teaches us there. I want to focus especially today on the symbol that Jesus uses in the seventh chapter of Matthew, a powerful symbol about life. Jesus was so perceptive, he was so wise, he was so careful with his words. He was able to put his finger on the areas of life that we struggle with and we care about and we deal with. And so this morning, just going to invite you to look into the words of Jesus, into his counsel, and hear what he says to us in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus uses some everyday events and everyday symbols to teach us. And so we're going to look at one of those everyday things that Jesus kind of drew out of nature. He drew out of the experiences of the people of the day and then gave them great meaning. Today we're going to read his words about the narrow the narrow gate and the narrow road and the wide road, a familiar symbol to each one of us. We'll read from Matthew chapter 7 after this video. Matthew chapter 7, if you want to read there with me, I'm going to read beginning at verse 13 and read through 23. Would you stand as we read the word today? Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Thank you. You may be seated. What a powerful passage. Really is to me a powerful warning of Jesus. Not a warning in a sense that he is wanting to condemn people, but Jesus wants us to understand that the decisions we make in life will determine which direction our lives will go. I want to remind you this morning that these are the words of the Son of God. They're the words of Jesus himself recorded in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. This may have been something that Jesus said many times throughout his ministry. We know that there are several illustrations or several passages in the Gospels that refer to one part or another of these words that I read from chapter 13 to 23. These are the words of Jesus. These are not just the words of a preacher or somebody else who creatively put down some thoughts. Though we can read them and we can dwell on them and we can focus on them, we're reminded this morning that these words come directly from Jesus himself. A great number of images may come to your mind when you hear Jesus' words about the narrow road. It's certainly a term that has great meaning in our culture. And people use that term whether they have any belief in God or not. They talk about the narrow road. We have an image of what that means. And maybe the image changes. And maybe the image of the narrow road, there's all kinds of different thoughts. There's certainly all kinds of different ways that the narrow road is portrayed. I looked at probably 100 different images of the narrow road from different artists. And there's a great variety of how it's expressed. However you see the narrow road, I want you this morning to think about what is Jesus saying about the narrow road that is out there in life. I have a feeling that this passage and this verse applies to every single one of us, no matter how far along or how short it is that we've been on the journey with Jesus. If you're here today and you've made the decision to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life, realize that this scripture applies to you. It really applies to people at all places on the journey. People who are deciding whether or not they want to follow Jesus or not. Certainly this passage is about that entrance point. But also this passage says something to me to mature Christians and older Christians and Christians that have been around a long time about the path we're on, about how God wants us to view the road and the life and the journey ahead. Jesus gives us several great word pictures, and several are mentioned here that plant His truth in our minds. I think of the Bible this way, but especially the words of Jesus. For example, here in chapter 7, it's like God is just throwing out some seeds of truth, and they land among us and on us and in us, and then when the right time comes, they begin to take root, and if it's nourished and the soil's good and it gets watered and there's the proper amount of sunlight and in our hearts and our souls, and boy, it'll grow up. And we'll understand what God is saying to us. And I think how important it is for us to understand what the narrow road is and why it is that Jesus said these words that are so strong. I mean, these are some of the strongest words Jesus says in the New Testament. I wouldn't say they're the strongest. I just say they're among the strongest words that Jesus says to you. And so I'd like to ask you today, right now, wherever you're at, I mean kind of emotionally, physically, spiritually, to say, God, what does the narrow road mean in my life? What do you want to say to me about the narrow road? I know that God has something to say to every single one of us. I believe that. I believe that every time we open the Word of God and we're open to the Spirit of God, God has something to say to us. You see, God knows, Jesus knows, that life is a journey. It's a journey, and all of us have a journey. All of our journeys are a little bit different. They look a little different. Some are similar. Some people are kind of seen to be on roughly parallel paths, and things in your life may be a lot like the person who you're very close to next to you. But even at that, you know, there's varieties in the map. There's different experiences that you've had. We've all grown up in whatever environment we've grown up in and believed certain things and been taught certain things and had good things and bad things happen to us. And so we all have our own experiences. We also come from different church-type backgrounds and belief, faith backgrounds. Some of you grew up in church and you have gone to church for your life plus 8.5 months or whatever it is, you know. And others may be here today and you've really not heard a whole lot about the gospel. Whoever you are today, I want you to know that Jesus wants to talk to us and me and you about the narrow road and what it means. I believe that deeply. Another reason why I believe that God knows our journey is that God created us in His image. And part of His image is that He gave us a free will. Every person that's here today has a free will. That means that you make choices about your life. We believe that God gives us the choice to choose good and wrong, good and evil, right and wrong. God gives you the choice about what you do and whether or not you respond to Him and you obey Him or you don't, or you harden your heart, or you have an attitude in your heart that says, I'm in charge and I'm not going to listen to what God says. God knows that already. We all have our own free will and the ability to choose. So God made us that way and He gives us that opportunity. So you have God who knows that life is a journey, and a God that gives us free will. And then I want to mention the first of two things I'm going to talk about regarding the strong words of Jesus. And I want you to be sure to see number three, what He says in this verse, and only a few find it. We might want to think that everybody around us and we and all the people that we know in our family, in our school, in our friends, are all going to be all right with God. But I just want to say to you right now, that's not the way it is. You're not right with God because other people around you are right with God. You're right with God if your heart is right with God and you choose the path that God calls you to do. I know I try to say a lot of encouraging things to people, and if anything, I probably err on the side of being encouraging all the time and saying positive things about everybody. Everybody's going to make it. We're going to do all right, and everybody's going to to go to heaven and see Jesus. But the truth is, all of us make decisions about our relationship with God, and Jesus says only a few find it. I wrestle with that. What do you mean only a few? Jesus, did you really say that? Did you really mean it? What's that mean in our culture today? What's that mean in our lives? That's something to wrestle with. I want you to realize today that God knows you're on a journey. God gives you free will. Jesus tells us that only a few find it. And number four, right now, is God Himself understands your journey. Not only does God know that you're on a journey, but He knows the journey you're on. He knows everywhere you've been. He knows everything you face. He knows all your experiences. He knows the good and bad of what's been a part of your life. He knows your choices, good and bad. He knows the choices of your family and friends and other people around you. God already knows that. I want to say to you, God knows your journey and He cares about you. Think of the picture of the mother hen gathering her chicks, another symbol from the Old Testament of how God sees us. And then Jesus talked about the sparrows, the birds of the air, and how God cares about them. And then He says, how much more He cares about you. The truth is, God cares about your journey. He knows your journey. He knows what's going on in your life and your journey, and He gives us these powerful words about the journey. Reminds us that God Himself understands our journey. You may wonder sometimes if God even knows the road that you're on. I know sometimes we wonder if anybody else in the world knows what we feel, and sometimes we're convinced, no, nobody else understands what we feel. Because we're all different, we're all unique, and we all are dealing with different things that are going on in our lives. And sometimes we feel so isolated, we don't believe that anybody else knows. And other times we don't feel that way. But you know, sometimes we feel that way about God too. I wonder if God really does understand what's going on inside of me, inside of my faith struggle, inside of that part of me that I'm wrestling with what I believe about God. And how I'm going to live my life and who I'm going to give authority to in my life. I want you to know that God knows that whole journey and He knows about that struggle that's going on. Yes, He does know. And He wants to help you every day to take the right steps, the right path, the right choices. There is a right and a wrong path for your life. There's a right and a wrong path for your choices. The reality is God will help you and show the way, but you have to open your heart to Him. You have to have a heart that is humbled before God and a heart that says, God, You're in charge. Help me. God loves it when people call out to Him and ask for His help in all kinds of areas of life. Jesus uses this symbol of a gate that would have been very real to the people in His day. You think about these words here. Enter through the narrow gate. Jesus was using a symbol that the people would have understood because they lived with gates. Many of the people that lived in cities that had walls around them had gates. If you lived in Jerusalem, you knew the importance of gates. There were 12 gates around the wall of Jerusalem. Some were big gates, some were narrow gates. They all had different functions and purposes and reasons why people used this gate instead of that gate. And this gate had this function, and this gate was to protect from people getting out or coming in. Or they had different purposes, the different gates. Some could be closed and keep people out. Gates were important to the people in Jesus' day. Another important gate in Jesus' day was the symbol of what the gate meant to the shepherd and to the shepherding community of which Jesus was so much a part of, and the culture around Him. Clearly, I believe Jesus had this idea. I don't know if you can see that picture that's up here on the left, but it's a picture of a sheepfold or an artist's portrayal of a sheepfold in Jesus' day. And when I was in Israel, I got to see some of these types of sheep pens out on the hillsides and places, and they're roughly a square, a rectangle, and usually built of rocks. And then on one end, there's an opening. There's not a door on a hinge that opens and closes. The idea is they didn't have a door like that, and the shepherd was the door. So when Jesus in John chapter 10 talks about, I am the gate to the sheep, and I am the good shepherd, He was speaking a symbol that the people absolutely understood. Jesus was talking about the one that stands in the opening and takes care of the sheep. And so he likely had that in mind when he talks about the importance of the gate. Most of the sheep in Jesus' day were out in the fields and were brought in at nighttime so that if the shepherd could not see where they were at, if animals came, they would be protected in the sheep pen. There was no physical gate, but the shepherd was the gate, watching over the sheep as they rested at night and they passed in and out. So there's some things about this idea of the gate and the sheep that I believe Jesus had in mind when he gives us this symbol. Number one is the gate represented a place of rest for the sheep. The gate represented a place of rest where they could come and find rest, where they could come and not worry about the animals that would try to attack them and hurt them. The gate was also a place of safety. It was a place at night where they could come and sleep, and the shepherd would stay awake, or the shepherd would literally lay in front of the entrance and block the entrance so no other animals could get in and attack the sheep. The gate represented the shepherd who was present and working on behalf of the sheep, tending the sheep. So when Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, all these things about the gate, the people would have understood behind this symbol and the meaning of it. The shepherd presence would have been very reassuring to the sheep. And when the shepherd was there, then they were comforted and they were comfortable and they were relaxed because he knows that the shepherd watches over them. The gate is also the place where the journey began each day. So they had to pass through in order to do the day's work or grazing or whatever they were doing. It was a place to pass through every day. I think of the symbolism, at least, that comes to my mind with that, how important it is that we pass through the gate of Jesus every morning. We pass through that gate. Again, it's not a physical gate that opens and closes, but it's more our heart every day. We pass through the gate. Jesus says here in this verse, enter through the narrow gate. It's a place every day to say, God, what do you want to say to me? How do you want me to live today? Passing through with a shepherd, helping and guiding and watching over. They also had to pass one at a time. The idea of the gate, it wasn't very big. It wasn't like you could, you know, four of them just went out at one time. There's just room for one. Maybe the shepherd and the sheep, if they're real close together. Every time they went through, there's the shepherd checking them, you know, checking for the fleas and make sure that they were okay. And the shepherd would watch over them and monitor them one at a time. And then there's the image of the road. Equally meaningful, I believe, in this passage, meaningful in Jesus' day. Of course, there were many roads. Most of the people got around by walking, small animals. You know, when you look at a full map, it almost seems like an endless number of possibilities for the road that you can take. When you go somewhere, I have my map book in the car. And, you know, I still love to use a physical map. Now, I got my smartphone, but I'm lagging behind in the smart part, so I'm still learning to use it. I still like a physical map, you know, depending on where I'm going, of course. And there's something about having the map, you know. Having I know the main road, and I know it's exit 422, you know, or whatever. There's something about having that map, and I think the way it is with our lives, God knows the narrow road, and he knows the broad road. He knows the roads that aren't going to take us places that aren't going to be good. Sometimes they're not the easy choices to make. The reality about the wide and the narrow road is Jesus is telling us, it's not always easy to take the right road. It's not easy to take the road because sometimes it's more challenging and it's harder to go the path that you know you're supposed to, even though maybe voices around you tell you that it you don't have to do that. It's up to you. But one decision at a time, we choose the path of life. You make choices about our attitude. You make choices about relationships. make choices, young people, about dating and who we're going to marry, what you're going to do with your life, what you're going to do with your time. Make choices about what kind of entertainments that we take in, whether we watch things that honor God or we don't. Choices, they're decisions on a roadmap. God won't force you to stay on a certain road, but He calls us to remember how important it is that we walk that certain road. He calls it narrow. I don't think He calls it narrow because He's telling us it's impossible. He's calling it narrow because we have to make choices to stay on it. You see, you get on the broad road, you really don't have to decide anything. It will take you that way. I read a little quote about fish this week. You know, dead fish go with the flow. That sounds like mine. Uh-oh. Dead fish go with the flow. You want to go with the flow? That's probably what it means spiritually. Just let the culture take you. Man, just let whatever Hollywood... Just let the portrayal of Dirty Dancing. That's okay. You know. I'm not just picking on Dirty Dancing. I don't know what else to say. You know what's out there. You've got to make a choice. And Jesus said, few there are that find it. You've got to make a choice. Telling the truth. Being a person of integrity. Even when it's not easy. Choosing your friends. Setting your priorities. Oh, life has so many choices. Realize today how important those choices are. Realize the doors that are in front of you today. And there are a lot of them. Man, they're just all kinds of doors about who you are, and what you're going to believe, and what you're going to hold on. But remember the words of Jesus. Only a few find it. And there are hard decisions, I know. There are tough decisions. Who are you? What kind of character are you going to have? Are you willing to stand up for what's right, even if the people around you do not? Are you willing to stand alone? Are you willing to say, this is who I am, this is what I believe, and I'm not going to allow the voices around me to rob me of truth? It's not easy to be alone. It is not always easy to stand up for what's right. What did Jesus say? Only a few find it. It's not easy to be alone. Some of you may feel pretty alone sometimes. You might feel isolated from people. It's part of the human condition. The isolation, when we stand up for what's right, sometimes people aren't going to understand. Some people don't believe, they don't have the values you have. They don't have the values that Jesus has. So would you expect them to approve of the things that you might believe are right or wrong, or you believe God says in the Word, and you say, I want to live by what God shows me? Do you think people who don't honor this are going to support you in standing up for what's right? If you do, good luck finding friends like that. The truth is, Jesus said, and only a few find it. Too few. Are you willing to stand alone? Remember the shepherd. You may feel alone sometimes, but the shepherd stands by the gate and he leads the sheep. Another story tells us how the shepherd feels about the sheep. If he has 100 sheep and he's got 99 of them, but one's lost, what will he do? He will go out and find that sheep. That's how the shepherd feels about you. The shepherd cares that much. It's not like that God is up there and watching for you to wander off and then he can, boom. No. He wants to bring you back. He wants to help you The shepherd wants to help you. But yet the shepherd will not make choices for you. The shepherd will not force you. And Jesus, in his great insight, I mean, I know I'm talking about several symbols here that Jesus talks about, but he tells us to choose the right road. He also tells us to be careful about false prophets, of which there are many. There are false prophets in all kinds of forms. False prophets who have a voice in your life. Whether they're intentionally false prophets or they're very deceptive false prophets about God's truth. And simply Jesus, two words starting this verse, watch out. Pretty simple. Watch out. Watch out for the false voices in your life. Watch out for those false prophets. Watch out for those that maybe seem pretty good on the outside. Then you find out. Jesus talks about how we measure them. Watch out for the false prophets. They are out there. Sometimes they're far away. Sometimes they're very close. Verse 15 says, watch out. Watch out for the voices that water down truth. Watch out for those that want to compromise what you know is right. Watch out for those whose highest authority is not God Himself in their lives. Watch out for deception. Watch out for negative voices. Watch out for voices that diminish God's authority. Watch out. Sometimes the deceiver can look so attractive and so good. And the road ahead may seem so innocent. But Jesus said, watch out. He said, only a few find it. And he said, watch out. You may wonder, how do you know about the false prophets? I mean, we all sometimes wonder. Some questions to ask. I mean, how do you know for sure? Jesus knew that there were deceptive voices in his day. Some of them were among the Pharisees, and some were probably even among his disciples, you know, and he knows that it's a part of life. What did Jesus say about them? He said, by their fruit you will recognize them. So the first thing that I want to kind of leave with us this morning, only if you find it. And the second thing is, watch out. And the third thing is, by your fruit you will recognize them. By their fruit you will recognize them. Well, that's so simple, but it's really true. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Watch out. God cares so much more about our fruit than we realize sometimes. And He's watching. I mean, He cares so much more about our fruit than our appearance. God cares more about our fruit than our words. God doesn't like pretending. You know that. No. He likes humility. He likes, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. He hears that prayer, and He knows our hearts. And so today, watch out. Some of the scariest words, would you come and play, Debbie? I said that Jesus ever said are found in this chapter and in this story. I told you what I thought one of them was, only if you find it. But I want to point out something else that Jesus says here that I think equally are true. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? These are the words. Then I tell you plainly, I never knew you. O Away from me, you evildoers. Choose your path. Watch out. Three things to leave you with today. Number one, and they're just kind of summarizing here. Number one is to listen to the shepherd. There's a shepherd who cares deeply about where you're at in life and where you're going and where you've been. If you're on the wrong path, my goodness, the grace of God gives you places to get back on the narrow. You just got to choose to. However you see this narrow path, God gives you an invitation to get on that narrow path. Whether you're well into life and you're well into an issue in your life, maybe an issue of sin, maybe there's something in the past that you just need to confess and say, God, I just ask you to take it away. And he's willing to do that. He's willing to help you with that. Listen to the shepherd. Number two, be aware. Watch out. There's someone who wants to destroy you, body and soul. He's coming after you. He already has. He already is. But he wants to destroy you. You know, the Bible describes him as the angel in light. Satan is so deceptive. So it's so good to right away. I'm not going to fall for this. I'm not going to fall for this. And then the third thing, choose your right path every day. Every day. Every day is the day to choose your path. You know, you can choose it when you're younger and say, okay, I'm going to be on this path. And maybe that works that way for you. But I know that every day we've got to choose the path. Every day. I'm going to do what God calls me to do today. I'm not going to rely on the fact that I was a Christian back there, my parents are Christians, or anybody else. I choose. I choose the path today. And if you do that, the Good Shepherd's there with his arms wide open to help you, to draw you, to watch over you, to help you, to comfort you. Thankful today for the Good Shepherd. Would you stand with me as we pray? As I pray in just a moment, I just wonder there might be some people here who the Holy Spirit speaks to you about your heart and your life. If you want to come and pray, you're always welcome to. Sometimes maybe we don't give enough time for people to come and pray at the end of the service. I'm not sure. But I want to invite you to respond to the voice of Jesus today as we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the voice of the shepherd, the same one who said, watch out, the same one who said, only if you find it, same one who said, tell them plainly, I never knew you, as the great shepherd who extends his arms to us today to help us and draw us to your truth. Lord God, today, we know that there are many false voices out there. There are many false prophets that would draw us away from you. I pray, God, that we would choose today to do what's right. Lord, that we would choose to have the relationships that honor you. We'd choose to be honest before you and before others. We would choose, God, the path of honoring you with our moral values. And Lord, anything and everything about us that we'd say, God, help us. And God, help us where we mess up. Lord God, help us to have that attitude that says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I'm thankful today that you can cleanse us and you want to cleanse us. Thank you for that truth. Thank you that you're the good shepherd. Thank you that you watch over each one of us today. I pray for those that are hurting today. There's some people in our church family that are really going through some difficult times, and I want to pray for them especially this morning that you would help them. May they sense you very close to them. Touch them, guide them, meet every need in their lives, Jesus, I pray. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for your truth today. In Jesus' name.